Chair, are we doing Willits or Healdsburg right now?
Healdsburg.
Oh, Healdsburg.
My error.
I recommended Willits.
Yes, my error. I just, you know, have Willits on the brain right now.
Okay. It's better with the schedule that I have prepared.
Sorry.
I'm sure everybody in our audience appreciates that, too. So, moving along, items 5 and 6. This is the time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider items 5 and 6. Proposed order R1-2010-0034, a waste discharge requirement and master reclamation permit, and proposed order number R1-2010-0035, to consider adoption of a cease and desist order for the City of Healdsburg Wastewater Treatment Reclamation and Disposal Facility. Although we will hear testimony and evidence on these two items at this one hearing, there will be two separate votes. These items have been properly noticed, and will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand? Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter? Thank you. And, excuse me, before we begin, it's my understanding that staff and discharger have requested some additional time for presentations today, and we will extend that out to, I believe the requests were for 30 minutes each, so we'll honor that request. And with that, we'll start staff presentation.
Hey, good morning, Chairman Hales and members of the board. My name is Kathy Goodwin, and I am staff to the Regional Water Board. I'll be giving the staff presentation on the NPDES permit and cease and desist order for the City of Healdsburg Wastewater Treatment Facility. And as mentioned, these are items 5 and 6 in your agenda package. I'll discuss them both, but as Chairman Hales mentioned, you'll be taking two separate votes at the end of my presentation. The NPDES package, item 5, includes the executive officer's summary report, followed by a large permit document that is in strikeout and underline format so that you can see the changes that were made to the public review draft of the permit. We also have a purple document that identifies changes made by staff and a gray document that is the response to comments document. And that's followed by 7 comment letters and the public hearing notice. And then item 6, the CDO package, is a much smaller package, and that includes the summary report, the CDO, and the public hearing notice. I'd also like to mention that you were given a package with a hot pink cover sheet, which contains a late revisions sheet, which I'll discuss a little bit later. It also contains page F12 that we discovered was missing from the package mailed out to the board, and it contains several comment letters that we received in the last 2 days on the final draft of the permit, and these letters came from Russian Riverkeeper and the Clean Water Coalition. At this time, I'd like to enter the file into the record. This map will orient you to the location of the treatment plant. We've got Highway 101 going north to south, Russian River moving generally north to south with the flow heading south. The wastewater facility is located here, and the City of Healdsburg is up here. Basalt Pond, which is Healdsburg's discharge location, is located immediately south of the treatment plant. And Basalt Pond is a gravel extraction pond owned by Sire Industries. This is an older picture of the river. You saw this back in January, but I think it helps to give a good overview of the facility location. We've got the treatment plant right here. You can see the location of Basalt Pond in relation to the treatment plant and also in relation to the river. You can also see the vineyard land around Sire Pond, and this is the Sire Vineyard property, which is one of Healdsburg's proposed reclamation sites, which I'll discuss a little bit later in my presentation. I also wanted to mention that the Town of Windsor's domestic water supply wells, are located downriver about a mile and a half from the basalt pond on the opposite side of the river. And I bring this up because it's important to realize that even though you can see this is, you know, an agricultural area, it is surrounded by rural residential and urbanized areas. And so it is important that our permit protect beneficial uses that include domestic and municipal water supply, agriculture, recreation, and aquatic life uses. Through 2008, Healdsburg operated a secondary wastewater treatment facility under waste discharge requirements, and they've historically discharged to Basalt Pond. A lawsuit brought by California River Watch resulted in the courts determining that Basalt Pond is a water of the United States and that any discharge to Basalt Pond needs to be regulated by an NPDES permit. The regional board adopted the first NPDES permit for Healdsburg in 2004 and also at that time adopted a cease and desist order requiring that Healdsburg meet basin plan requirements that apply to surface water discharges, and these included the need to upgrade to advanced wastewater treatment, comply with the seasonal discharge prohibition and the 1% flow limitation, as well as the need to comply with California toxics rule requirements. Healdsburg completed and certified an EIR in 2005, and that EIR evaluated treatment and disposal alternatives for complying with regional water board requirements. And then the advanced wastewater treatment facility was finished in 2008. And I'll mention that the permit and the cease and desist order were brought back to the board and modified a couple of times between 2004 and 2008. Healdsburg's upgraded treatment facility provides wastewater treatment for average dry weather flows up to 1.6 million gallons per day and wet weather flows up to a peak of 9.3 million gallons per day. Key processes in the upgrade include the membrane bioreactor, which includes aeration, biological nutrient removal, and microfiltration, and then also the ultraviolet light disinfection system. The upgraded facility provides a high-quality effluent with very low biochemical oxygen demand, total suspended solids, nitrates, and ammonia. And in the 2 years that they've been operating, they've had minimal violations. They did have one coliform violation during startup, and in recent months have had a couple of copper violations that they'll be addressing. And this is in stark contrast to the number of violations that they were having on their old secondary facility, which was the subject of an ACLO hearing just this last January. The upgraded facility also includes an equalization pond and a recycled water storage pond, and these are both lined with synthetic liners for groundwater protection. Effluent disposal is currently year-round to Basalt Pond, which, as I mentioned, is a water of the United States, and is addressed in the permit as being part of the Russian River. Thus, all beneficial uses, discharge prohibitions, and receiving water limits that are applicable to the Russian River are also being applied to Basalt Pond. This means that the basin plan seasonal discharge prohibition that applies to discharges to Basalt Pond, and Healdsburg cannot comply with that until they complete a disposal scheme that eliminates discharges to Basalt Pond during the period of May 15th through September 30th of each year. Healdsburg proposes to comply with the seasonal discharge prohibition by constructing a reclamation system to deliver recycled water to various urban and agricultural use sites between May 15th and September 30th of each year. The permit and CDOs that have governed Healdsburg's discharge for the last 5 years required compliance with the seasonal discharge prohibition by October 2009. That hasn't happened because of a lack of financing. Healdsburg proposed a plan to construct an agricultural reclamation system on the neighboring Sire property. I showed you that location in the aerial photograph. And they had hoped to do this by this summer as a way of phasing in to their reclamation system. Since the Sire property borders the site, it was originally viewed as hopefully an easy way for them to get their reclamation system started. They have a mitigated negative declaration in progress, that will address some additional issues related to the Sire property. The public raised concerns about the Sire reclamation project because they want to see details of the reclamation plan to ensure that it won't result in contamination of high-quality groundwater in that area of the river. Attachment G of the proposed permit requires Healdsburg to submit additional technical information regarding such things as agronomic rates and best management practices to demonstrate protection of groundwater and surface water quality. And staff believes that the process laid out in Attachment G should successfully address public concern regarding the need to demonstrate water quality protection. So you have as item 6 a cease and desist order that is proposed for adoption today along with the permit. And this order provides Healdsburg with additional time to complete the reclamation system and to comply with the seasonal discharge prohibition. The compliance schedule in the CDO provides Healdsburg with almost 5 additional years beyond the October 2009 date that was in their original orders. And the first task in the list is for them to design a reclamation system, and you may recognize this as the supplemental environmental project that the board approved at the January hearing. In light of Healdsburg's progress in achieving advanced wastewater treatment, staff believes that it is reasonable to provide Healdsburg with this additional time to achieve compliance with the seasonal discharge prohibition. So now I'd like to discuss the proposed NPDES permit and significant changes, these differences between the proposed permit and the permit that Healdsburg has been operating under for the last 5 years. First, the permit will serve as a master reclamation permit, which provides a detailed yet streamlined permitting process for reclamation. The master reclamation permit allows the discharger to add new users without having to come back to the regional board for a hearing each time they want to add a new reclamation site. And I'll discuss the reclamation requirements in the permit on the next slide. The permit also contains advanced wastewater treatment effluent limits, final limits for California toxics rule compliance for copper, as well as UV disinfection requirements. There are also two special study requirements. One of them is an ammonia study, and the other is a receiving water study. These studies were driven by the need to have more data to determine compliance with permit requirements. The ammonia study is necessary because even though Healdsburg does have very low ammonia in their effluent, pH and temperature conditions in Basalt Pond during certain times of the year could result in reasonable potential for ammonia, so they'll have a chance to gather data and assess that. The receiving water study is needed because of the unique receiving water conditions in Basalt Pond and will utilize water quality monitoring in a nearby abandoned gravel pond to sort out whether receiving water conditions in Basalt Pond are the result of natural conditions, the effluent discharge, or both. And the study will focus on parameters such as total dissolved solids, specific conductance, temperature, pH, and dissolved oxygen. And finally, the permit includes requirements for construction of recycled water ponds that they would need to comply with Title 27 requirements or exemptions thereto. So we'll talk about the reclamation requirements now. These are drawn from four key regulatory documents that I've got listed at the top of the slide. This is the first water reclamation permit that will be considered by this board since the state board adopted the recycled water policy and the statewide landscape irrigation permit. And staff utilized these documents in setting requirements, including issues related to agronomic rates, implementation of best management practices, as well as public participation requirements that are included in the permit. The permit also includes requirements to for protection of public health as mandated by the California Department of Public Health's recycled water regulations, which are in Title 22. So key provisions in the reclamation requirements include the submittal of a technical report addressing each new recycled water site. The technical report must provide sufficient technical information to demonstrate that recycled water will be applied in a manner that is protective of water quality. And the report will be approved by the executive officer and will be subjected to a 30-day public comment period in order to make the process of adding new recycled water sites a transparent public process. An irrigation management plan that is submitted with the technical report must provide calculations of the amount of recycled water that can be agronomically applied and best management practices to ensure that water quality is protected. In exchange for this upfront work, the discharger would not need to do time and cost intensive work later, such things such as groundwater monitoring, salt and nutrient management plans, and potential costly enforcement if pollutants were to make their way into groundwater or surface water. And the permit provides an allowance for runoff that is truly incidental, consistent with the Basin Plan Low Threat Discharge Amendment. Comments were received by the seven parties listed on this slide. And there was a lot of overlap in the comments, so I'm going to address the comments by topic in the following slides. One of Healdsburg's big concerns is that beneficial uses, receiving water limits, and discharge prohibitions for the Russian River may be inappropriately applied to Basalt Pond based on the assertion that Basalt Pond is not part of the Russian River. Santa Rosa and Water Reuse Association expressed similar concerns, so I'd like to address these issues now. We're calling Basalt Pond part of the Russian River due to the subsurface and surface connections that have been documented through scientific studies as well as through direct observation. Because of this connection, Russian River beneficial uses, receiving water limits, and discharge prohibitions have been appropriately assigned to Basalt Pond. In addition, Healdsburg has proposed to comply with the 1% flow limitation by comparing the effluent discharge flow into Basalt Pond to receiving water flows in the Russian River. So in order to support this proposed method of compliance with the flow limitation, Basalt Pond would also need to be considered part of the Russian River. The regional board doesn't have discretion to arbitrarily leave beneficial uses, receiving water limitations, and discharge prohibitions that are in the basin plan out of a permit. But one of the provisions in the permit should address Healdsburg's concerns, and that would be the receiving water special study that I just discussed. This would give Healdsburg an opportunity to sort out what the conditions in Basalt Pond are and determine methods of compliance. Healdsburg could also request consideration of a basin plan amendment with regard to the objectives for total dissolved solids and specific conductance, which are their biggest concerns, in the next triennial review, and they've mentioned that in their comment letter. City of Healdsburg, City of Santa Rosa, and California Water Reuse Association question the use of language from the statewide landscape irrigation permit being applied to agricultural uses, and they express concerns that the recycled water language is too burdensome and may act as a disincentive to irrigators signing up to take Healdsburg's recycled water. Other commenters, namely Russian Riverkeeper, Clean Water Coalition, Westside Association to Save Agriculture, and the Watershed Protection Committee, expressed strong support of the recycled water language in the permit, including the use of statewide landscape irrigation permit language for agricultural use, stating that they believe this language is necessary for the protection of high-quality groundwater in that reach of the Russian River. These groups wanted the permit to be clear that Attachment G recycled water language applies to all recycled water use sites, including those that have already been addressed in Healdsburg's 2005 EIR. During the public period, comment period, Healdsburg also expressed concern that the public comment period could open up issues that were already addressed in the city's certified EIR, and that certainly isn't the intention of that language. The intent is to limit public comment to things in the technical report as it relates to proposed management practices and agronomic rates, for the protection of surface and groundwater quality. The fact sheet has been modified to make this intention clear. And staff recognizes that Healdsburg's concerns regarding the reclamation requirements are also related to the uncertainties of how these requirements might play out. Staff understands that concern and is proposing to add a reopener provision to the permit to allow the regional board to revisit the technical report and public participation requirements. If these requirements inappropriately become an obstacle or burden to water recycling that has demonstrated compliance with the regulations and protection of water quality. So in this process, staff has tried to address the concerns of the state board, the discharger, as well as the public, and has made numerous modifications in response to public comments, including clarifications regarding the applicability of recycled water language. Other issues were raised regarding groundwater monitoring as well as groundwater limitations in the permit. Clean Water Coalition, Russian Riverkeeper, and WASA all urge the regional board to require groundwater monitoring plans in agricultural areas, while the discharger, City of Santa Rosa, and Water Reuse Association see groundwater monitoring as unnecessary if agronomic rates are used in recycled water irrigation areas. As mentioned in an earlier slide, the permit language requires the discharger to submit detailed technical information up front to demonstrate use of hydraulic and nutrient agronomic rates and best management practices to ensure water quality protection. If these measures are in place, groundwater monitoring is less likely to be necessary. If a discharger proposes to irrigate at greater than agronomic rates, groundwater monitoring is more likely to be required. And I should point out that the recycled water language that we're talking about is not just applicable to Healdsburg, but will be incorporated into other permits. Healdsburg also expressed concern about groundwater limitations in the permit because the language used in the permit seemed vague, and this applies to requirements that require that they demonstrate that the discharge hasn't caused a statistically significant change in groundwater quality. In the response to comments, staff has explained statistical methods that have been approved by various regulations that can be reliably used to show compliance with this limitation. There were other requests for clarification regarding wastewater treatment processes and certain monitoring requirements, and many of the requested changes were made in the permit. Staff also identified some changes that were needed in the permit after it was released for public review, and the most significant change has to do with sampling frequency for water reclamation. The language did not reflect the proper sampling frequencies, and so they've been changed to be consistent with requirements in the Title 22 recycled water language, as well as standard Region 1 monitoring frequency protocol. And as I stated a few slides back, staff recommends that an opener provision be added to in regard to reclamation requirements. And this provision would allow the permit to be reopened to modify recycled water technical report and public participation requirements if these requirements become an obstacle in the manner that I explained. And at this time, we would anticipate that this could result in tweaking of the language as staff and dischargers gain experience working with it. Another late revision that I would like to propose, this came up this morning, is that the technical report requirement in Attachment G, Provision G5, does not currently include language requiring it to be prepared by a licensed professional, and I would like to recommend that to the board that we add language that does require that technical report to be prepared by a licensed professional. So that concludes my presentation. I'm open for questions, and after that, staff would recommend that the board open the hearing to public comments and then adopt the proposed orders with two separate votes.
Great, thank you, Kathy. Do we have any board member questions?
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
Thank you, Kathy. You guys have done an enormous amount of work here, and we appreciate that. I'm going to make a statement based upon the fact that this is the first of what will obviously be inclusions in future permits that we have. And because of that, I think it's something that we all need to look at, not only in terms of the actual orders that we have here, but also in terms of its implications for the future. And as many of you know, I'm involved with small districts almost exclusively, it seems. But small districts are in a little bit different position. And so what I'm going to ask that we do is, with respect to this, that we, I have no problem with the permit as it has been drafted, but that we maintain some flexibility because this is the first one we're doing, and the tendency for humans is to go back and repeat what they have done before and to simply pull it off the shelf and say, it worked at Healdsburg, it should work at X, Y, or Z. And it may not. So it is that concern because we're looking at the moment at trees, if you will, and we're kind of missing a forest here. in the sense that we are trying to do two things. One, guarantee that the water that we reuse is safe to do, not only as it comes from the plant, but also as it is applied to the landscape. And secondly, that we actually reuse water, because that is, in fact, probably our only source for the future. If we are to expand the use of water, it's going to be reusing what we have. And because of that, particularly when it gets to small systems, the requirements that we place on this in terms of what a provider of water does may be to the point of being expensive, such that as a board member for my own district in Forestville, we use reclaimed water. But if it becomes so expensive to do that, it may be more likely that we will not let the public have that water, but rather we will simply discharge that water because it becomes too expensive for us to comply with these requirements. So I am not suggesting that we lower the safety standards. What I'm suggesting is that we find ways to accomplish these things, particularly for small districts, because they, while they may not provide an enormous amount of water, they nonetheless do. And it would be kind of, I don't want to characterize it as silly, but it is in that sense, if we make it so difficult to do that nobody who is in a position to do it will do it, we've kind of defeated the recycled water plan, particularly the policy that the state has adopted. So what I'm asking is that, yes, this is probably what we will do with Healdsburg, and I think you recognize that, particularly with the reopener clause in the permit, but that we also go forward looking for alternative ways to accomplish the goals so that we can, in fact, keep recycled water as a viable entity for us in the future. And with that, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We have the folks from the city here.
Good morning, Chairman Hales, board members. Mike Kern, I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Healdsburg. With me this morning are Jim Flugum and Greg Newmark. I'll be giving some general opening statements on the city's position, and then Jim and Greg will follow up with some specific detailed presentations. First, I'd like to thank your staff for their efforts in putting this permit and the cease and desist order together. Both Kathy and John have been very professional in their preparation and very responsive to our needs to meet with them on occasion. We understand that this permit involves difficult situations in unique circumstances. Both the city and the regional board have expended tremendous effort in putting these proposed orders together. I want to make it clear that the City of Healdsburg is committed to improving and maintaining water quality. The City Council is very supportive of water quality improvement projects. This is demonstrated in the fact that we've invested over $32 million in our advanced wastewater treatment plant. We built that on an expedited schedule. It's now regionally recognized as one of the most advanced wastewater treatment facilities in the area. We've expended over $1 million in preparation of studies and plans for the recycled water distribution system, which was part of the ACL that your board considered earlier this year. The recycled water project is one of our council's top three goals for this calendar year. So that demonstrates the importance and the priority that they've placed on this. In sum, our commitment to water quality is not subject to debate. It is tried and true, and our record speaks for itself to deliver on those comments. That being said, we have some serious problems with some of the language in the proposed order. We believe that the language in this order will send mixed messages with regard to your regional board's support for the use of recycled water. Specifically, the requirements establish significant impediments for individuals to willingly accept recycled water. This is despite the fact that our recycled water is some of the highest quality that's being produced, and the fact that we've pretty much completed design of our recycled water distribution system. It really provides no incentive for individuals to accept this treated recycled water willingly. In fact, it does just the opposite. It puts up roadblocks, impediments, and significant hurdles that and mandatory requirements that they would need to adhere to. We feel that those impediments will basically negate their willingness to take that water when they have proven and reliable water sources that are at little or no cost to them. I appreciate the comments from Board Member Massey. We consider Healdsburg to be a small discharger. We have 12,000 people. Our current wastewater rates, are approximately $80 a month per single-family dwelling. As we move forward with this program, we're envisioning rates to be upwards of $100 a month per single-family dwelling. That is significant. If we're not able to do this in an economically reasonable fashion, we'll have to look at other options, and one of them will potentially be not providing this recycled water to the folks in the area. It's that expensive. It's a huge problem for us. In conclusion, I'd like to suggest that your board direct staff to revise the reclamation requirements, removing these burdensome requirements. Secondarily to that your board continue the public hearing today, but to remand it back to staff and bring this back at the July meeting so that we can have an opportunity to revisit some of these issues. It really is that important to us, and I think it's important to the region because this really is a precedent-setting moment that your board is undertaking. We would appreciate, however, that you do act on the cease and desist order because that is gives us some points of compliance and time schedules to get out from under some of the penalty clauses that we're currently subject to. I'd like to thank your board for the opportunity to speak this morning, and with that, I'd like to turn it over to Jim and Greg. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm here for any questions you may have.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Norton.
Mike, thank you very much for your comments. I do appreciate them. I appreciate the efforts by Healdsburg to upgrade this plant, too. It's no small feat. In fact, we have Willits here today that has done also Herculean efforts to upgrade plants like this. As your staff comes forward, though, I'd ask you to kind of consider a couple things, if you, to the best of your ability, to incorporate these into the conversation today. And that there is, I think, a convergence here of several things. You're right, you're first. You're first with a reclamation permit that is onto a POTW permit here. And because of that, it's a convergence then of the state recycled water policy. It's the low threat discharge permit that we have, the incidental discharge permit as well. With that, there's significant agronomic requirements in a technical sense to use this water out on properties. And so I would ask in your conversation, to the best of your ability, to incorporate what are the costs? What have you done, and what are the requirements that are to answer that attachment G requirements under the rec part of it? And also from that standpoint, the land base that you're talking about to required to fully offset your discharge to Basalt Pond.
Jim has some of those. Okay. He'll be able to address some of those specific questions.
Yeah, and it's fine if you don't have. I know I'm just throwing this on you guys, but we talk about cost, and I'm actually in support with Bill Massey. We don't want to be an impediment to recycle water use.
Yeah, one of the things that we've undertaken as part of the neg deck for the 200 additional acres on the Sire property is a water study that is currently being drafted. We would expect to have those results probably in the next couple of weeks, I think we're shooting for. And that will shed some significant light on, you know, what we believe the technical studies will demonstrate. The expense just to do that on our dime is a little over $25,000. If these are the types of studies that are going to be expected for the balance of the 1,200 or 1,300 acres that we're going to need to apply for the ag use, that's a big chunk of money, especially if we're looking at a study for every individual contract that we have to enter into with the individual property owners. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jim unless you have any further questions. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Mike, and good morning, board members. What I'm going to do today is just run through some of the numbers behind our reclamation system and outline some more specific concerns, and finally just offer some alternative proposals we think we could live with that might allay those concerns. But first thing I want to do is...
Could you just state your name for the record real quick?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's Jim Pflugum, Deputy Public Works Director with the City of Healdsburg. And I first want to just express my appreciation to Kathy Goodwin and the staff at the board, because there were a lot of changes, more minor changes that we requested in this permit that they did make, and we're bent over backwards, I think, to accommodate us, and we really do appreciate that. To get into this, the numbers behind the system, though, you know, we've got the May 15th, the September 30th discharge season, and the numbers are really consistent. We generate about 140 million gallons a year during that time period. It really doesn't vary much, and so we know pretty well exactly what we need to deal with. Thank you. As Kathy mentioned and Mike mentioned, we did the 2005 EIR that included a number of components, but one of those in there too was, of course, the disposal system. And if you look at all the aerial photos of the area surrounding the treatment plant, it's very apparent that there's just really nothing there but vineyards. And that's really outside of the turf areas in town. That's about our only option. And at the time we looked at it, vineyard property was, you know, somewhere around $100,000 an acre to buy, so it was really beyond the city's ability to go out and acquire land, convert it to some more intensive water-using crops. You know, we're really stuck with vineyards in this area. So we identified a total of 1,350 acres. Most of that was vineyard property. And as Kathy mentioned, too, we did our environmental document for the Sire property. The last version of that came out in 2009. I think we received public comments, I believe, at the end of December. That identified 214 acres of additional Sire property, and that is property that they had either acquired since we did the 2005 EIR or property that had been newly planted since the EIR completed, and that expanded the total acreage that Sire owned to about 325 acres and then would have made them our biggest single recycled water user. We got response to comments, and you know, most of the responses are done. As Mike mentioned, we've, at the request of the commenters, we've hired a hydrologist to do a water balance study. And as Mike mentioned, we expect results from that to be back probably in the next week or two, at least for a draft. So when you put those two projects together, this is what we wind up with total potential. We've got 1,563 acres total. About 90 of those are turf inside town. The rest of it, 1,475 acres, is vineyards outside of the city. This pie chart is a breakdown of what we believe the total potential for recycled water use on all that property is. This was done as a part of a recent update just earlier this year to our recycled water engineering report that gets submitted to the Department of Public Health. But you know, the turf areas can take about 55 million gallons. You know, that leaves about 95 million gallons that we've got to get from vineyard users. And that's all voluntary water use. Like Mike mentioned, these all have their own existing water sources. So turf will get us about 25% of the way there. The rest of it's got to come from vineyards and outside users. So we've got a total identified use of 215, and that's more than 140 because it's all voluntary, and we don't expect that everybody is going to come on and sign on to this. So when we went into this process, you know, we had kind of an expectation looking at similar recycled water permits that had been issued to entities like the City of Santa Rosa and the Town of Windsor. And this is just a summary list of what's typically been required for bringing new users online, and it's been that way for years, and this is more or less what we expected. You know, it's, you had to have evidence of CEQA coverage for those properties, and then you had the standard Title 22 requirements, posting on property boundaries, measures to protect domestic wells, regular inspections, development of a user reclamation plan, and of course executed user agreements that incorporate all these provisions. This is a quick summary of, and you've heard details on this already, but the new provisions in Attachment G to the permit, you know, it extends many of the provisions, as has been mentioned, from the state landscape general permit to agricultural users, which we don't believe was the intent of that. You know, the I want to point out that a general permit is overly protective because you don't know what kind of a water source you're going to have when somebody applies for coverage under a general permit. You know, in this case, we've got a very known quantity, we've got a very high quality effluent. Requires additional 30-day public review and comment cycle for new technical studies. And I want to add the other provision in there too is that if we can't resolve comments, and we believe that's a real possibility, it has to come back to the board for a full hearing instead of getting approved by staff. To us, that's a significant problem. It makes the city responsible for controlling fertilizer application on all property, even though, as I'll detail in a couple more slides, you know, our contribution is really inconsequential. It's just minimal. It also applies a separate landscape general permit provision for what they call unique site-specific conditions where there's high groundwater and high permeability soils. We don't believe those conditions exist, but that decision's not up to us, and we could further down the road, you know, be subject to even yet more studies beyond the technical studies that are required for every property that comes online. So obviously we've got several concerns for this. We believe it goes well beyond the requirements of the state recycled water policy. We don't have any authority or expertise, or we feel, you know, any business making judgments on vineyard users, what is an appropriate agronomic rate for fertilizer application. You know, they have a built-in incentive not to over-apply, because my understanding is it promotes leaf growth over fruit development, and it's just something they don't want to do anyway. You know, we believe that, you know, the opportunities for public comment that are already out there through the CEQA process, through the hearing process, we've had an extensive public comment process, you know, for example, for the SIRE document. We believe that's adequate to cover all these concerns. And just looking at a step-by-step every time we bring on a new property, having to go through this process, it's just creates a whole huge uncertainty in going forward with this project when we're looking at committing money, large amounts of money to this project. And like I mentioned, reasonable potential. I mean, our water quality is great. We've got very low levels of nutrients. And we just believe that this runs counter to the goals of the state recycled water policy that would intend it to streamline permits. And I guess I can't, and I've heard the word streamlining, but I don't think I'm overselling it by saying that adding another layer of approval process and everything is just not streamlining. It's making it more burdensome. From the voluntary user's perspective, you know, with little or no exceptions, we believe that everybody out there that we're talking about delivering recycled water to has existing sources of water that really give them very little trouble. You know, other than their own desire to help the city out and possibly get a source of free water for several years, there's not a whole lot of incentive there. And just, I guess, as an example of that, Sire's got, you know, 325 acres of vineyards that they irrigate, and we actually provide electricity to them, and we know what their power bills. Their power bills to irrigate that whole acreage, we're talking about $1,000 a year, and it's just not a huge amount in the scope of things. Nutrient concerns. We made the decision when we designed the treatment plant, not knowing this was going to happen, but we made the decision and spent a lot more money to incorporate biological nutrient removal into the treatment plant. The latest numbers on our effluent are that we're averaging about 2.6 milligrams per liter. I looked at my consumer confidence report for my potable water supply at home, and that's about what I get in my tap. It's very comparable to a potable water supply. You know, typically our irrigation rates of 3 to 6 inches a year on vineyards, what this equates to is an application rates like 2 to 4 pounds per acre. And there's a 2006 Napa study that's been pretty widely cited, but in that study they identified just the nutrient removal just through the harvest alone removes 9 to 15 acres per year. So it's just almost impossible to to over-apply nutrients using Healdsburg's recycled water. So with that, you know, we have several changes. We thought through this in the last few days, trying to understand and figure out maybe what we could live with. And what we're asking for is specific revisions to in C5 of Attachment G to the permit. You know, we believe, like we said, the existing provisions for public review are good, they're robust, and we think they're going to be in disincentive, and I think they should be eliminated in favor of what we're talking about. And one of those is to, you know, we have no problem with a requirement that goes into our recycled water user agreement that requires application at agronomic rates, but we believe that compliance should be, you know, determined by the city providing information to the users on what the nutrient content of our recycled water is, so they can take that into consideration in their own fertilizer application. And also, the other big issue too is incidental runoff control. With respect to that, what we would propose is to develop a manual of best management practices for runoff control. That could be reviewed by the public and approved by the regional board. And then as each property came up to be connected to the system, we'd select from that menu of best management practices and submit it to the regional board, much like they do for other types of general permit coverage, such as construction permits or stormwater permits. And if they need to, make comments on it and take exception to it and impose it, you know, some of the additional BMPs from that menu. Lastly, I want to mention too that we have actually gotten one letter from our biggest user, which is Sire. And, you know, I don't know I've only have one copy of that right now. I just got it, but I can paraphrase that by saying at the end of it, they just believe that the additional burden just doesn't outweigh, you know, the benefits of recycled water to them at this point. If that's what they're looking at, it's not worth it to them. So I'd like to offer that letter to the regional board to go into the record if I could.
Okay, we'll take it.
So with that, I'll turn it over to Greg Newmark.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Greg Newmark. I'm special counsel for the City of Healdsburg from the law firm of Myers, Nave, Rebeck, Silver, and Wilson. My comments are going to build on Jim Flugum's and Mike Kern's. Some of them are going to be reprising a theme, but I'm going to try to focus on some of the more specific legal requirements and some of the policy documents that are at play here. Before I get into my specific comments, I wanted to look at a couple of a housekeeping matter. We have requested that whatever else happens, that the cease and desist order be adopted today to provide continuing regulatory coverage with regard to the seasonal discharge prohibition. There's actually been a gap because we had all been hoping to get this matter heard before the May 15th prohibition kicked in this year. We weren't able to do that. In discussions with your staff leading up to this hearing, we'd ask for just an acknowledgement that the board, on the record today, the board doesn't view that gap in time where we were discharging to Basalt Pond, where we don't have CDO coverage, wouldn't be viewed as something subject to mandatory minimum penalties. And so I don't know whether staff can respond to that now or just at the conclusion of my presentation.
We have never considered discharges that were in violation of the discharge prohibition to be subject to mandatory minimum penalties. They are, however, subject to discretionary penalties. Is that what you were looking for?
That is. We understand the discretionary part of it, but the mandatory minimums are difficult for everybody, and we wanted to at least take that issue off the table. First of all, it's Healdsburg's position that the proposed order that's before you right now is inconsistent with the 2009 recycled water policy adopted by the state board. Some of the the tension, the issues has already been brought out by some of the questions from board members today. If you go too far in imposing water quality regulation burdens, you are working across purposes with the overall goal of the recycled water policy, which is to encourage recycled water use. Some of the specific goals that we're concerned about being undermined by this order are the goal for California to increase use of recycled water over 2002 levels by at least 1 million acre feet a year. There's also a goal for California to substitute as much recycled water as possible for potable water by 2030. The regional boards are mandated by Section 4A of the recycled water policy to use the authority granted by the legislature to the fullest extent possible to encourage the use of recycled water. And Section 4A1 of the policy establishes a mandate to increase use of recycled water by 200,000 acre feet per year by 2020. The policy recognized a need to streamline the vast majority of recycled water projects. And to the extent we've discussed nutrients a bit today, Section 6A1 provides that the State Water Board finds that the appropriate way to address, and I'm quoting here, so I'll try to read slowly, the appropriate way to address salt and nutrient issues is through the development of regional or subregional salt and nutrient management plans rather than through imposing requirements solely on individual recycled water projects. And that's the end of my quotation. We're aware that the North Coast region intends to address the salt and nutrient management plan requirements through a basin plan amendment to strengthen regional groundwater and surface water protection. However, we think it's still critical, even with that approach, to fulfill the State Board's policy objective of not placing regulatory burdens on individual recycled water projects alone while the rest of potential recycled water customers are using water sources and practices that are not subject to those same regulatory burdens. By significantly increasing the regulatory burdens of recycled water permitting, the proposed order frustrates these policies and mandates. As both of the prior witnesses from the city have explained, prospective recycled water customers in the Healdsburg area already have cheap and reliable water supplies. This is a very different context from what recycled water is distributed in other parts of the state. For example, in the Central Valley, where you have agricultural users already purchasing water from an irrigation district at significant expense, subject to significant unreliability issues where they may be getting their deliveries cut substantially. In those circumstances where the agricultural users just are desperate to get the water, it's a lot easier for them to contend with significant regulatory burdens. But that's not at all the case here. Because of the proposed regulatory burdens and liabilities set forth in the proposed order, Healdsburg's recycled water is going to be was essentially a significant competitive disadvantage to the existing water supplies that these voluntary users would have to give up. Imposing regulatory controls on agriculture in general, at some point in the future, we understand that that may be a portion of the long-term planning strategy that your staff is considering, isn't going to help this situation here. If recycled water is put at a crippling disadvantage now, the projects very well may never be implemented in the first place. We're operating under a short time frame to comply with the seasonal discharge prohibition. We don't have time to wait for a long-term strategy to come into play where the playing field is evened between the rest of the world using irrigation water and the regulatory burdens that users of Healdsburg's recycled water would face. I want to also talk about the specific procedure that's set forth in the permit for giving the city final approval to go ahead and apply recycled water to use areas. This is a sort of an interesting situation in this permit where your action on the permit today does not give final approval to the city to actually do anything with recycled water. It's a conditional approval of the use areas in attachment G1 subject to this additional process. There's we're seriously concerned that serial public comment periods are going to thwart the goal for streamlined permitting recognized in the policy adopted by the State Board just last year. I also want to just actually specifically look at the provisions for the approval of the technical reports. It's on page G7 of the permit before you. In the staff presentation, there were some statements that Healdsburg could go forward with recycled water projects based upon executive officer approval. That's not necessarily the case. If you look at the language, there's after preliminary review for completeness and adequacy for water quality protection, there's going to be a public notice period. And then if there's significant public comment, it's going to be brought back to your board for further action. So given the acute public interest in this matter, you've gotten a long list of commenters, many of whom are not on the same page as Healdsburg here. We're very concerned that we're going to be having this debate again and again and again, and it's going to be a significant regulatory risk both for Healdsburg and for their users, and it gets harder and harder to justify investments that are subject to that type of risk. We believe that there is no need to have further public hearings and public process on what are basically technical reports. We'd ask that your board, this board, and the public exercise some trust in the regional board's technical staff to evaluate and approve technical reports. And as Jim Pfluge mentioned, we think that there's an analogy to other regulatory processes that are very familiar with this board that have worked very well in the past, such as general stormwater permits under the construction or the industrial program, where there's coverage upon submittal of the notice of intent, the stormwater pollution prevention plan. The regional board retains the ability to review that plan and request changes or enhanced best management practices through an iterative process. The regulation of recycled water on these use areas is also, by and large, going to be implemented through best management practices. We think that this same sort of tried and true procedure with an iterative process would work well here and should be implemented. In fact, this is a process that appears to have worked successfully in other master reclamation permits that this region has adopted, such as the Santa Rosa permit. I want to emphasize that we don't believe that this would be shutting the public out of the process. They're just not going to be able to directly supervise each individual use area and what each individual vineyard manager is going to do in their vineyard. There has been and will be CEQA review. I also want to make the point that this is an NPDES permit. It's going to expire in 5 years. It's going to be back before your board in 5 years for the public to comment, for you to take another look at how it's being implemented. I know that staff has proposed a reopener provision. We appreciate all the work that they've put into in trying to address our concerns. We recognize that they have a lot of constituencies to work with. We don't believe that that reopener provision really adds a lot to allay our concerns. There's already an ability to reopen the permit in Section 2A of the standard provisions. So restating it in other portions of the permit, unfortunately, we don't feel it's going to address the problems that we've raised. We are concerned that this permit is essentially going to regulate recycled water to death. If Healdsburg, that already has a brand new $32 million treatment facility, already spent the money on designing the recycled water system into seven figures, has some of the highest quality effluent in the region and adjacent agricultural uses. If Healdsburg cannot make this work, and you've heard from Mike Kern that it really may not, I sort of echo the concerns of Board Member Massey that how are the other recycled water providers, people who are interested in providing recycled water or already providing it, who have older treatment plants, fewer resources, haven't already undertaken the design, why are they going to want to take on the regulatory risk? It doesn't seem like a viable option. And so that's, I think, the policy dilemma that's facing you today. We believe that the proposal that staff has put forward will provide the regional board with the oversight that it needs to protect water quality and provide enough certainty to justify investment by the city and to get voluntary users to take. You see, we need to get 75% of the water to voluntary users. That's when you don't have to add very many much weight to the scales to tip it where they're not going to take it. I want to briefly touch on the receiving water limitations for specific conductants and total dissolved solids. We believe they're not only unlawful, but they're impossible to comply with. As all of you are aware, under Water Code Section 13241, water quality objectives are supposed to be adopted to provide reasonable protection to beneficial uses. There's essentially no dispute that these water quality objectives for specific conductants and total dissolved solids are not designed to protect beneficial uses. They're far more stringent than anything we've seen that's necessary to protect beneficial uses. As near as we can tell, they seem to reflect ambient water quality at some point in the distant past. It's also clear, and we've submitted evidence to this effect, that the city cannot comply with these limitations without implementing reverse osmosis, because even with the advanced treatment systems that have been constructed at Healdsburg, it's not possible to remove things like TDS and the things that cause specific conductivity without going to that level. Because the water quality objectives were not, from their face, adopted in compliance with Section 13241, we've requested that those two limits, receiving water limits, be removed from the permit. In response to comments, staff has pointed out that the discharger could request a basin plan amendment. We did, and we do, request that the board direct staff to consider and adopt an amendment to the basin plan, either amending or repealing those water quality objectives. In closing, the city believes there are significant revisions that need to be made to this permit to make it workable. We respectfully request that you direct your staff to make these changes and bring back a modified permit. As the other witnesses have said, we do request that even if we are lucky enough to have that happen, we would like the cease and desist order adopted today. One thing we want to point out is that even the schedule that's laid out in the cease and desist order was predicated upon our understanding of a very different type of recycled water framework than what we ended up having. I'm going to conclude now. I appreciate the staff's efforts and your time listening to our comments. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any board member questions or comments? Okay, thanks. I'd like to take it back to staff to see if there's anything that they would like to add to this. I think before we go into, I have a big stack of speaker cards. The board wishes to take a break before we get into those. But I'd like to just take a quick opportunity before we do that break just to see if staff has anything to add at this point.
Yeah, and I'm looking at staff, and they're looking at me, and I think the preference here would be to go ahead and take the break so they can collect their thoughts.
Okay, board's going to take a 15-minute break. Let's get back here, try to be prompt at quarter till. Thank you. Previously, I've got a stack of speaker cards. We'll try to get through these fairly timely, so we'll just try to keep your comments focused, and we'll start off with the order that I have these. So Kate Wilson, followed by Dennis Hill.
Hi, my name's Kate Wilson, and I work for Russian Riverkeeper, and I'm reading comments that were prepared by Don McInhill, who is out of town today. We'd like to acknowledge and thank the Water Board staff, Kathy and John, for meeting with us and listening to our concerns and comments. We would also like to thank the City of Healdsburg for meeting with us and for working proactively to conduct studies to help understand potential water quality issues relating to the reuse of treated water. Russian Riverkeeper supports the permit before you, since it addresses our concerns relating to the use of treated wastewater in certain areas with reasonable potential for groundwater contamination. Water, especially clean groundwater, is vital to our community's health. Any project that degrades water quality reduces water availability. Reusing treated wastewater is one way to extend our current and future water supplies. As we stated at every state board meeting in the development of the recycled water policy, we strongly support reusing treated water if, and it's a big if, we ensure the protection of existing water quality. In fact, the overall goal of the recycled water plan is to increase total water supply for the state. Therefore, any degradation of groundwater acts to reduce supplies and is counter to the plan's goals. We are pleased that this permit before you today reflects and addresses our concerns and requirements of the adopted recycled water policy meant to protect existing high-quality water sources from any degradation from projects that use treated water. In particular, we support four things: the requirement that all reuse projects are subject to Attachment G and Section C5, public review and comment on technical engineering reports as required by Attachment G, adding that groundwater monitoring could be required, and the consistency of Attachment G with the state recycled water policy requirements. In summary, we support the adoption of this permit and urge you to adopt it. And I also just want to comment on the cease and disorder. We support the adoption of the cease and disorder before you. If the technical and engineering reports required by the new permit cause delay to the implementation of the reuse projects to comply with the CDO, and the city has shown diligent efforts to move forward, we want to be on record that we would support this request for an extension if warranted. We are far more interested in seeing the revised permit implemented thoughtfully than in firmly holding Healdsburg to the deadline. We urge you to adopt the cease and desist order. Thank you for listening.
Dennis Hill, followed by Mike Kern.
Actually,
Mr. Chairman, that was part of your presentation.
Mr. Chairman, honorable board members, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Dennis Hill. I'm an officer with Westside Association to Save Agriculture. WASA is a community organization formed to promote stewardship of the land and protect both agricultural uses and natural resources in the middle reach of the Russian River watershed. I appreciate the opportunity to comment on the application of Healdsburg to discharge recycled water on Sire Industries vineyards and other properties in the vicinity of Healdsburg's wastewater treatment plant. I've lived and farmed in this area for over 50 years. We think it's a great idea to use recycled water for irrigation of agricultural crops as well as for urban and residential landscape irrigation. The Middle Reach Aquifer is an important and valuable drinking water source for over 600,000 people in Sonoma and Marin counties. And for agriculture. It is also some of the cleanest and best quality water source in the county. We are concerned about the potential for pollution of the soils and the aquifer if proper safeguards are not in place and enforced. We applaud the regional board for its commitment to not compromise those safeguards. We at WASA appreciate that the proposed NPDES permit, as now written, does a good job of requiring safeguards procedures to safeguard and protect this area. The provisions of Attachment G are critical to reduce the risk of contamination. All of these provisions should be maintained and should not be modified to weaken their intent. As shown in Attachment G, Section C, the order recognizes the need for additional requirements for areas where unique conditions exist. The soils of the Middle Reach Aquifer, the soils of the Middle Reach Russian River Valley are unique and also quite variable in many characteristics. They have a high transmissivity and rapid percolation, being mostly sand, gravel, and loam. They contain very little clay or organic matter, except for a few areas near the foothills on the west side. Consequently, these soils have little capacity to attenuate contaminants or to react with nutrients. They also vary greatly in the depth of topsoil from area to area. Because of this, we support the need of a water balance study and nutrient balance study, which I understand is already underway. Additionally, these conditions support the need for site-specific irrigation management plans, operational plans, and adequate technical analysis, recognizing the agronomic rates of the crops and the site. If not managed carefully, over-application of nutrients or contaminants can percolate quickly into the soil, through the soil, and into the groundwater. This aquifer is too valuable to take any chances with the possibility of contamination. Because of these unique conditions, we do feel that, as written, the order does not adequately protect domestic wells in this area. If recycled water is discharged with a minimum of only 50 feet from wells and surface water, there is a potential hazard. However, in the interest of approving this application as written, we will not object to the 50-foot minimum at this time. We also support the very important requirement of full ROWD and public comment period for proposed new recycled water projects, including engineering and management plans. We at WASA wish to urge the board to not compromise the safeguards that protect this precious aquifer. Additionally, I'll comment that if the order is approved as written, we would support granting more time to Healdsburg to comply with the cease and desist order. That's the end of my comments.
Thank you.
Fred Corson. Fred, I've got two cards for you for...
I thought it was going to be two hearings.
We'll just take care of them both at the same time then.
I will do that.
Okay, and then followed by Dave Smith.
Good morning. I'm Fred Corson. I'm the chairman of the Clean Water Coalition of Northern Sonoma County, on whose behalf I make these comments. The coalition represents citizens who live in the Alexander Valley, Dry Creek Valley, and the middle reach of the Russian River, and who depend on high-quality groundwater supplies for drinking, domestic uses, agriculture, and wineries. The Clean Water Coalition strongly supports this order as written. We believe the water reclamation requirements and provisions as defined in Attachment G will indeed meet the objective of minimizing contamination of this large, high-quality groundwater aquifer in this alluvial valley of the Middle Reach. We applaud the leadership provided by regional staff in drafting this permit, and we also would like to acknowledge the efforts of the city of Healdsburg in building the most effective wastewater treatment plant in our region and in working to try and understand how the treated water effluent can be appropriately used in reclamation projects. The Clean Water Coalition and our member organizations have extensively studied and commented on all reclamation projects proposed for Northern Sonoma County. During these efforts, we commissioned four studies of the geology, hydrology, water balances, and potential for groundwater contamination from reclamation projects in these alluvial valleys. Our studies, as well as multiple studies by others, uniformly lead one to the conclusion that the potential for contamination of our high-quality groundwater aquifers from concentration of contaminants in the soil and percolation to groundwater with rainwater is very high. These studies were all submitted for the record with our comment letter on the draft order. Our strong support for this order is, as written, is contingent on several specific provisions which we believe are critical to groundwater quality protection and which have been criticized by the applicant. First, the order makes it very clear that for any specific reclamation project to be approved, all provisions of Attachment G must be met, irregardless of the status of current CEQA documentation. This is critical. We have found CEQA documents on many reclamation projects to be deficient in identifying and mitigating impacts on groundwater quality especially. This unfortunately includes the 2005 EIR already certified by Healdsburg and their yet-to-be-certified NEGDEC on the proposed SIAR reclamation project. This board clearly has the authority to independently judge whether mitigations proposed in CEQA documents are sufficient to protect water quality. This order makes it clear that appropriate CEQA documentation is necessary but not sufficient for project approval. Second, the order requires a technical report, including an irrigation management plan, be submitted for each proposed reuse project. This plan must include all the site-specific information on farming practices and water balance, which is necessary to determine where the application of wastewater will cause degradation of groundwater quality. We believe these provisions are both necessary and appropriate. They're compatible with the state water recycle policy and the landscape general permit. Further, the state water recycle policy clearly provides for regional board discretion required to protect high-quality groundwater systems. According to USG Bulletin 118, the Healdsburg area subbasin stores almost 4,000 acre-feet of high-quality groundwater. It would be a shame to contaminate that for the benefit of a small recycle project. Beneficial uses include municipal domestic water supply, wineries, and agriculture. Third, the order makes it clear that groundwater monitoring may be required depending on the conclusions reached in a specific project technical report. This board clearly has the authority to require such monitoring and reporting if deemed necessary to protect groundwater quality. In summary, we strongly support this order as written. We especially support the reclamation requirements and provisions contained in Attachment G. Certainly, the state recycled water policy supports the use of wastewater in reclamation projects. However, it also importantly requires that reclamation projects be protective of high-quality groundwater systems. We urge the approval of this order as written. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. And on the second cease and desist order, I would simply like to comment that we fully support the extension of that date for the city of Healdsburg. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Smith, followed by Brenda Adelman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Dave Smith, and I'm here today in my capacity as Managing Director of Water Reuse California. Water Reuse California represents over 200 water recycling advocates and practitioners and engineers in the state, and about 80% of this water recycled in the state is done by members that I am here representing today. And I'm here to agree with and amplify on some of the comments that you've heard, including some of those of Mr. Corson, who just preceded me. We fully support the need for the board to protect beneficial uses and the quality of groundwater, and we think that provisions in this permit do that. We also are concerned that provisions in this permit go beyond what is necessary to protect beneficial uses and are in fact going to have a chilling effect on water recycling in this region, if this is indeed the precedent that earlier discussions suggest it might be. The that chilling effect is going to come from the uncertainty that's associated with the proposed requirements of looping back for every site to get approval through a public process. The regulations that this permit is based on have already gone through a public process. CEQA represents a public process. We are having a public process here today. And so continued public involvement does not protect beneficial uses. It adds uncertainty to the process. And if you're an agency like the city of Healdsburg, you're disinclined to invest capital resources in something where you don't know or have a regulatory certainty associated with it. And I would take you back to, and Mr. Massey, you might, I can't remember whether you were on the board at the time or not, but the city of Santa Rosa requested a permit before it began construction of the Geysers pipeline. That was a $205 million project, and this board clearly understood that you couldn't expect the city of Santa Rosa to construct that without knowing what the rules of the game were going to be. And this is the same situation, except the opposite is happening, where you're guaranteeing that the capital project developer doesn't know what the rules of the game are going to be, because you're telling him he has to come back each time before he develops a particular project. And that is where the chilling effect is going to come from. The largest recycler in this region, the city of Santa Rosa, is currently planning a project to offset 3,000 acre feet of potable reuse. So that would reduce the need to convey water down Dry Creek, address the or help address the Endangered Species Act problems or compliance problems in Dry Creek. And a provision like this, if it was included in the City of Santa Rosa's next permit, would compel city staff and the city's recycled water program manager, me, to recommend to the city that they not undertake the project under those conditions. So I can tell you from my experience around the state elsewhere that these kind of conditions would not promote recycled water. They would result in users, as you heard earlier, who have the opportunity to use other water, they would use it. They would not wait around for the outcome of this process. They would commit to other resources and move on. And I can tell you on behalf of the 150 water recycling practitioners in this state that they would not expect their constituents, their potential customers, to wait around for uncertainty such as would be built into this process to be resolved. So I would encourage you to accept the request from the City of Healdsburg to not adopt the permit today and give staff some opportunity to resolve the issues. I think they are resolvable. I think the City of Healdsburg's proposed solutions would address the concerns, and I think that can be done in a way that addresses staff's concern about wanting to make sure people are aware of what's going on with recycling in their neighborhood, but without adding uncertainty to the process. So I would ask that you give the opportunity to resolve those issues. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Edelman.
Thank you. Brenda Edelman of Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I do not have prepared comments, although I did read Attachment G and I submitted brief comments earlier. But I just want to say that we strongly support the comments by WASA and Riverkeeper and the North County Coalition. We believe very strongly that, and we strongly support the permit as written. As you know, we have provided extensive comments both to the state and your board on the issue of recycled water runoff, and that we have had grave concerns for a very long time now about the fact that there have been inadequate controls in other reclamation permits to prevent that runoff. And we're very encouraged that your board and your staff are now taking steps to correct that situation. And yes, this is the first reclamation permit under this new policy. And I think that's all the more reason why you should adopt this permit and keep it as stringent as possible, because the other dischargers are just waiting for an opportunity to downgrade requirements that they might be expected to make. And there's a history, as you know, I've documented extensively over irrigation in Rohnert Park, and I know that over irrigation is pretty common. The Russian River is severely impaired, and now we're faced with summer flow rates of 70 CFS in the lower river. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of signs of heavy contamination in the lower river that's only bound to get worse when those, because of the biological opinion, the 70 CFS is going to be applied for and probably granted for the next 7 or 8 years until they make it permanent. So we're looking at a change in management for the river, the lower river, at a time when degradation is already pretty serious. So we just have to have as much care taken as possible to make sure that this runoff doesn't occur. And I'm very concerned that if you eliminate part of the public review process, you'll eliminate, in effect, some of your oversight. I know you have a very fine staff and they work very hard, but there aren't enough of them much of a time to oversee all of the potential problems that could arise. And this permit provides a means to assure that there will be a lot more oversight and that the public will have an opportunity to provide oversight as well, because very often we're the ones out there who see these things and report them to your agency so that you would be able to know what's going on. There's no way that you could know what's going on everywhere all the time. So I really urge you to adopt the permit as written. Thank you.
Thank you.
My promised long stack of speaker cards was actually cut in half from previous presenters that had submitted, so I find myself at the end of the stack unless there's anybody else that wishes to come up and speak.
The discharger had a late comment that they wanted to submit. It was from the Sire family vineyards. They aren't here today to attest to the truth and accuracy of it, but if you wanted to accept it as a policy statement, you could do that.
That's fine. I'll accept it. Okay.
I don't know if you guys plan to read it or you just...
They summarized the gist of it when they had brought it up.
Yeah, it's so, yeah. Very similar to what that had previously been stated.
Okay. Okay, this time I'd like to just take it back to staff then to see if there are any additional comments or clarifications that they'd like to make following the public comment that we just received.
So I'm trying to put together my thoughts on the things that we've heard today. I guess a couple of things come to mind. I know one of the things that Healdsburg brought up was their concern, you know, over how expensive and burdensome the process laid out in the permit might be, and also Board Member Massey, you know, expressed concern about expenses to small districts. And you know, and certainly, you know, we hear that concern. We're, you know, staff is of the thought that the, you know, this process may not be as expensive and burdensome as it might seem. It's new, you know, none of us have experience with that. That's part of why we proposed the reopener provision. But we're, you know, thinking that things will get more efficient once a technical report has been completed, say, for the Sire project. We think that a lot of the information that's already developed will transfer over to other projects. You know, I think experience will tell. We would also support or recommend that dischargers look for help from RCDs and Ag Extension to help fund some of the expenses that might be related to these requirements. Another thing, you know, we would offer is that as good examples of documents such as user agreements and technical reports are developed, that we would propose making those available by way of our website so that they are, you know, something that others can draw upon. Going back to the requirements that we've got, you know, we try to put the requirements that we have in the permit in there, in place of having to go through a basin-wide salt and nutrient management plan. Staff's thought was that if a discharger had to include all the sources that are present in the basin, you know, that would be costly and burdensome. You know, so our thought is that the technical report requirements that we're proposing are less burdensome. What else? And let's see. I'm trying to gather thoughts. Do you have anything else that you would want to add? Do you want to talk about CEQA and the public comment period? Another reason that we are requiring, you know, this level of technical information being submitted, you know, as part of the permit process, is that the kind of information we're asking for is not currently present in Healdsburg's existing CEQA document, nor do we typically see this in other CEQA reports. The level of detail that's needed to really document that water quality is going to be protected. Certainly, we would like to see that in the future, but we need to cover that base as well. As I recall, Healdsburg's EIR simply said that they would comply with regional water board requirements. So in the future, we'd like to see a higher level of water quality analysis for protection of groundwater when recycled water is involved.
One last point, if I could. I think living in this ground, in this basin, we recognize this is a water short basin, and you know, folks that irrigate using groundwater today, someday may have to recognize that that groundwater is a valuable commodity, and if there is an alternative source of reclaimed water available, I think it's in all of our best interest to make use of that water, and to say that, you know, there won't be folks stepping up to use that water on urban parks, on schools, on front yards, for interior plumbing like Windsor's doing. I really don't think that's the case. I think we all live in this basin together, and it is water short, and we have to make use of our valuable water supplies, and unlimited groundwater is not going to be here forever.
Thanks. Anything, Kat? Okay, board member questions, discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Massey?
I'm still bothered by the idea that we make for either the ultimate user or the district, and let's make no bones about it, these are districts that operate sewer systems in order to get that reclaimed water, and that's where it comes from, that if we make it so expensive that they can't do it or they won't do it, we're defeating the recycled water policy. But on the other hand, when I took an oath for this board, I noticed it says that it's a water quality control board, not recycle. So if we have a choice, and I don't know that it's a good one, but if we had to make a choice, I think we have to come down on the side of making sure that we protect water, because that is what we do as a board. So I am still very concerned that we may not get to the recycled portion of it, but the fact is that as a board member, and I think I speak for all of us, it's just a matter of that is our primary objective. That's what we've got to do. So I may not like how I come to this, but nonetheless, it is there. It is simply a water quality control board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Noren.
I echo that, Mr. Massey. At the same time, I like this permit because it finally gets to reclamation and talks about agronomic use from the standpoint of hydrology, hydraulic loading, and nutrient use and uptake. I very much agree with many of the comments to be highly protective of the waters of the Middle Reach, in fact, all waters in this area. A couple things, though. Kathy Goodwin, you actually made a statement of a transfer of information, and I think the rub in this thing really is that every site, whether it be 5 acres or 550 acres, is going to go through a process of in accordance with C5 in Attachment G. I'm wondering, and I'll wonder out loud here, in that vein of transfer of information, can we get at some of this programmatically? We actually, I think in January, had a SEP project that was proposed to build some of this system in diluvial gravels. Some of the groups out in that area came and expressed the fact that you're committing then to river gravel irrigation, and that's a highly sensitive area simply because of geology, hydrology, and everything that goes with that. I think that looking at that plant is out on the river gravels, and you're not going to, I can't imagine you're going to pump that stuff 50 miles somewhere else. It's going to be used pretty much centrically, at least some distance around that plant. I think, though, within landform, within hydrology, within location-sensitive water bodies, I think we could get some common information and still get what we need here as a regulatory body. I think that we could share information, because if we make an impediment to reuse this water, then we really do defeat the purpose of recycled water. My suggestion is, at this point, is to continue this for 30 days on the permit, have staff work with the discharger, and see if we could come up with some type of proposal to answer the provision of C5 in Appendix G to be highly protective of groundwater, be site-specific to the extent that we need to be, and to see if we can share information where information can be shared to lessen the burden and cost. That's my suggestion here. And I wonder if that's a possible thing going forward with this. I think there, the other part of this is there's a distinction, I think, between a turf area, which it sounds like that's 25% of the total use here potentially, and 75% going to irrigation. So it seems to me that the part of the these regulations, which, and I don't have the exact word, but part of the regulations that apply to landscape, to me, apply to the turf part of this thing. Whether we make a distinction then that ag reuse and reclamation on that side, we possibly could make a distinction, I think, that the ag reuse is not then subject to that landscape. And that's just a question that's out there as well.
Mr. Nor, if I may, is that following your logic path, is that the turf areas would be higher risk or higher sensitive areas, perhaps more urbanized and therefore a greater risk of incidental runoff than the landscape areas outside?
Well, turf to me falls into the landscape provisions of the recycle plan. That's as I see it. And you may correct me, Mr. Flugum, if I'm wrong, but let me finish here for a minute. I think that looking at agricultural reuse is a different thing, because I think that using ag water out there, you have an agronomic use that's going to be determined. That's based on trying to grow grapes. These are all grape lands, and that has a nutrient agronomic hydrologic loading that's applicable to that. It's not so much different in turf, by the way, but turf is an urbanized area too. I think each one has its specific subtleties. I think they also have their specific subtleties with respect to geology, because many of the developed vineyards in this area are out on that alluvial plain. That is a highly sensitive area out there. We have an impaired water body in the Russian River. We heard from some of the folks on the river this morning that there is impairment out there on that lower river. And whether those are just indicators and a magnifier of a larger symptom of nutrients here, it is your option that you have to at least look at to go forward with reclamation here. It's one of the legs of the stool that you're going to stand on as far as a district to have to recycle and reuse this water. So my suggestion is, again, and I'll propose it in the form of adopt at least, or a suggestion from our board to propose that we take an order here or direction to staff to work with this discharger on this permit to develop, at least where we can, to the extent practical, programmatic ways to get at attachment G, section C5, to the extent practical. I think that with that, you could come back in July to us with specific proposals. I think it ought to be inclusive with some of the other commenters here today, so that we can get back to this and get to what I think is important thing, which is use of this recycled water with thought, care, and intent. That's as I see it. And I would propose that we direct staff to do that today.
And not a host of potential proposals, but a preferred approach.
That would be my preferred approach, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Coleman?
Board's pleasure. We could certainly spend 30 days working with the parties to see if there are viable options for segregating out the requirements for the ag versus turf. I think that might be a fruitful use of time.
doesn't seem that Healdsburg would have an objection to the extra time to work that out. Do you have a okay?
No, we wouldn't have an objection to that. And I might add something that might be helpful, too, is we made the distinction in our written comments. I didn't mention it here today, and I should have, is that with respect to turf irrigation, the city manages all the turf areas that we intend to irrigate. We believe, you know, that we could probably live with many of those requirements for the turf areas. We would propose to do it programmatically in one document. You know, the distinction we make, like you say, is for agricultural areas because we've got a collection of independent vineyard operators out there and not one operator.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just add to that? And one thing, Jim, is that I agree with you 100%. You control the turf areas. And, in fact, that's, I think, as I know the ag reclamation part of this thing, you, the city of Healdsburg, are the permit holder under that master rec plan. This requirement for these technical documents is essentially a one-time around. Show us the data, show us the science and the hydrology, and then, in essence, through time, this is allowed to go forward for a five-year period with that information being the underlying basis of how that's operated. And I think it's really important to get that right simply because you don't have control of all those properties out there. I think that it's incumbent upon good science to have this standing on that would allow this practice of reuse water with thought and care.
Mr. Chair, if Mr. Dorn is making that as a motion, I would give you a second to, with the addition that I believe we need to do the CDO.
Yes, that's correct. True.
And with that, I would give you a second.
Okay. So for item 5, then board members in favor of a holdover until July while we go back and finesse some of the finer points. I'll take that as a motion and second. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? Thank you. That's for item 5. Now for item 6, our CDO. Do we have any discussion on that on top of it?
I have no problem with the CDO, Mr. Chair.
Okay. No. Was there a schedule extension that was being asked with that, or was that built into the CDO itself?
I'm hearing you need to adopt the CDO today. We will probably need to extend the deadlines that we would bring that back to you in the future when we have more certainty around when the permit's going to be
okay.
Issued.
Great. I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We need a roll call vote on this. Because it is a CDO, Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Mr. Massey?
Yes.
Mr. Noren?
Aye.
Mr. Yes. Mr. Dunker? And I myself vote yes. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're still on our schedule. Just to remind folks, we were planning for a lunch at 1 o'clock today, so we're going to push forward and take up our item 11,